We left off yesterday discussing a halacha that's agreed upon by everybody. But why it's true is a little bit less conclusive. So the Gemara says very clearly that Adam ate a Meshamas at Kofar. That halacha that if an animal kills somebody, or Muad kills somebody, so the owner has to pay Kofar, has to pay the value. It's Machlek is actually where the value refers to the value of the victim or the monetary value of the owner of the shore, but clearly Kofar has to be paid. So the Gemara says that that din of paying kofar only applies to shor, does not apply to an adam. So if a person kills somebody, so there is no chiyuv of kofar whatsoever. And the question is, why not? So the simple reading is because of kamu dramine. The person is going to be chayav misa anyway, so how can we even begin to discuss paying kofar? That's what some Rishonim say. But other Rishonim point out that it doesn't seem to be that way for the Gemara. That doesn't seem to be the reason. As Tosos pointed out, that the Gemara on Dav Chavav actually requires a pasuk to teach me that other men of Misham is a kofar. The Gemara needs a special exercise, a kosov, to indicate that if Reuven kills Shimon, he doesn't pay kofar. And the question becomes, well, why do I need a pasuk for it? Isn't it obvious? Isn't it covered by kamliv d'ramine? So many of the Rishonim say that you see from that Gemara, for the necessity of a pasuk to exclude an adam from paying kofar, you see that for some reason, some mysterious reason, the regular dinim of kamliv d'ramine wouldn't apply to kofar. And that's where the topic of this year, or this whole sugya, is question mark. What is that mysterious reason? What is it about kofar that doesn't lend itself to the regular rules of kamliv d'ramine that necessitates a special pasuk to teach me that, nevertheless, the adam is potter? So yesterday we went down the route of Tosfos and Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, a group of Rishonim said that the reason why kofar doesn't lend itself to kamliv d'ramine is because classic kamliv d'ramine talks about two different chiyuvim, like the case of the person who kills the woman and also causes the miscarriage, or the case of the person who hits his parents, that's a chiyuv b'akov imo, and he also causes damage to his parents in the process of hitting them. He not only is chayav misa, but he theoretically would be chayav mamon. Person burns down a house on Shabbos, so he's doing an aveira of chilul Shabbos, and he's also becoming a chayav mamon. In the case of kofar, it's one thing. It means you're doing one act of ritzicha, and the one act of ritzicha is potentially carrying with it two distinct punishments for the same aveira. So it's not like there's a sorif is a bayit b'shabbos and a mazik mamun chavero. It's not like you horig one person and you cause it to make vlodas to another person. It's the same mechayev. So that same ma'isa mechayev of ritzicha, that's not kamliv d'ramine. That's a different din. It's a different parasha. So that's what one group of Rishonim said, that our case is just not subject to kamliv d'ramine altogether.
Wouldn't you say
almost even more mistabed, that's kamliv d'ramine. Right. If kamliv d'ramine was just a simple pashat tzfar, I probably would have said it. But I'm not so sure kamliv d'ramine is such a simple pashat tzfar. Without a pasuk, I never in a million years would have said kamliv d'ramine. So I don't know. I'm not sure. And I hear what you're saying. It's interesting. The mafarshim talk about kamliv d'ramine as relates to this week's pasha. He said, here Paro gets punished, and the Mitzvim get punished, and at the end of the day, the money gets taken away from them. So some say, Kimiv Dramine, he said, how can you take away my money? So what's the answer to that cash? So questions, is it a question in the first place? For him to slump, it would be a question in the first place. So there's a Machlekes HaTanoim, where the Kimiv Dramine applies only to Onshei Beis Din Shamata, or even applies to Beis Din Shamala. Let's say, for example, a person is Chayav Misa Bidei Shamayim. So would that be covered by kamliv d'ramine? We're going to talk about that, actually. It's part of our sugya in a moment. Is that covered by kamliv d'ramine? So we have to paskin that now. We paskin that kamliv d'ramine is only kechidusho, like the case of Beis Din Shamata. So the person Chayav Misa's Beis Din, Skilus, Reif, etc. Then there's kamliv d'ramine. The person does an aveira that carries with the Misa Bidei Shamayim, that is not covered by kamliv d'ramine. So some say that's what the pasuk means. The Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu at the Bris Ben Absarim that v'gamas agoy ashe avodu don anochi. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you're not taking care of this case. I'm the judge of this case. Don anochi. This is Beis Din Shamala, and therefore v'chamechein yitzu b'chush gadol. So don't ask me any lamed shakashim. Avraham Avinu sitting by there, but the Bris Ben Absarim, and thinking, wait a second, it's against the Gemara Ksuba, it's against the Gemara B'Kama. How can you take away that money? So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, don't worry about it. V'chamechein yitzu b'chush gadol. Why? Because v'gamas agoy ashe avodu don anochi. I'm the one in charge. I'm the one who's being done the case. We get back to that story. So are there any other reasons that we can identify why kamliv d'ramine wouldn't apply to kofar? So there is a Tosus in Maseches Ksubas that identifies an entirely different reason, and it touches on something that we just began at the very end of the shiur yesterday, 2 days ago. We began to discuss different kinds of tashlumin in halacha. We spoke about Tashlumei Mamon, which apply to when I cause a Hefsed Mamon. So if I break your window, so I have to pay you $500. The $500 is not mechaper for anything. The $500 is not a penalty. It's a reality. The reality is I caused you $500 loss, so you're not going to suffer the loss. I have to pay the loss that I caused. So that's Tashlumei Mamon. Tashlumei Knas is I did something wrong, and I'm getting paid. I have to pay, so I have to pay B'toras Onesh, B'toras Knas. And then there's a third kind of Tashlumin, that I did something wrong, and I really deserve a different punishment, but if it's Baruch Hu, B'chasto HaGadol, is going to give me kapara for it. So the kapara could take many, many different ways. Kapara could sometimes mean a korban, sometimes could mean paying a chomesh, sometimes could mean paying something else. So whatever the Torah decides, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to be the method of kapara, so be it. So that's a third kind of tashlumin in halacha. So Tosus in Masaches Ksubis suggests an idea that maybe the whole parish of Kibbutz Ramine doesn't apply to tashlumi kapara. Why conceptually that should be so, we have a little more work to do. But before we get to the why, we have to figure out, is the what, is it correct? Is Tosfos right in that assumption that Tashlumei Kapara don't lend themselves to Kibbutz Ramine? If that assumption is true, then we just have to prove one more thing. We just have to prove that Kofar is a Kapara. Probably shouldn't be that hard to prove, as its name almost sounds like it's a Kapara, but even that's not so simple. If we could prove Tosfos' first premise that Tashlumei Kapara just don't lend themselves to Kibbutz Ramine, and combine that with proving that the Shlumei Kofar is in fact a Kapara, then we're in business. Then we've solved that mystery. We've solved the riddle. We have found a good reason, another good reason, why Kibbutz Ramine doesn't apply to Kofar. And now we understand the necessity for a Pasuk. So again, we'll all try to figure out the necessity for one word. The Torah says, Alav comes to exclude Adam. So we're sitting and trying to figure out why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chachmasu, write that word Alav? What is the significance of this Torah about that? Why is it that the Torah has to bend over backwards to tell us, by the way, there's no kofar for an Adam Ahoreg? I would have known it on my own. So the answer is you wouldn't have known it on your own. And the question is, why wouldn't have you known it on your own? So it's going to take us maybe 2 shiurim to figure out why we wouldn't have known it on our own. But that's the derech, that's the mahalach, that's the path that we're going down. So we have to prove two things in the next for the next point. We have to prove Tosfos' theory is correct, that there's no Kibbutz Ramine and Kapara. And we have to also prove that Kofar is Kapara. If those two things are right, then we have a good answer to our question. So the first of the proofs takes us to a little bit of a complicated sugya in Maseches Pesachim. Actually, those were at the Bracha Shiur last night in the Shul. So we talk a little bit about this Gemara in a little bit of a different context. But it's a Gemara in Pesachim that starts out at the sixth of the Marmikamos. Tanan Hosom. We learned the Mishnah that appears in Maseches Trumos. Ha'ochel Truma B'shogeg. If a non-Kohen Yisrael Azar eats Truma by mistake. Now, obviously, he wasn't supposed to do that. That was an Aveira. It's a very, very serious Aveira of eating Truma B'shogeg. Eating Truma Mezid carries with it Nisa V'dei Shemayim. The person definitely did something wrong. And the Torah says in Parshas Emor that if you did that, Mishalim Karen V'chomesh. So you have to pay the value of what you ate, and you have to add on a fifth as well. Echad ha'ochel, this applies whether you ate the truma, v'echad ha'shoset, or if you drank, let's say a person drank the wine of truma by mistake, v'echad ha'sach, or if a person smeared oil of truma on their body, so that's also included in this din. That's what the Gemara calls sicha kishtia, that smearing is the halach equivalent of drinking. There is a machlekes of Rishonim whether this last din is actually a din min ha'Torah. Tosfos quotes that it could be that this halacha of sicha vis-a-vis truma, sicha kishtia, may only be midrabbanan, because the Torah doesn't say sicha, the Torah says achila. So shtia is considered to be achila min ha'Torah, but maybe sicha not. And other Rishonim disagree. Other Rishonim say no, that sicha kishtia is a real bona fide din d'oraisa, and the all three categories are the same. Echad ha'oichav, echad ha'shosav, echad ha'sach. And so you have a major machlok that we showed him within the details of the sugya, just how far sicha goes. But again, it's not, that part is not our sugya right now. Echad truma tamei v'echad truma tahora. It applies whether the truma that you ate is truma that's already tamei, which even the Kohen shouldn't be eating, or whether it's truma that's tahora. And all circumstances, mishalim chomesh v'chumsha d'chumsha. You have to pay a fifth. And then you have to pay a fifth of a fifth. What does a fifth of a fifth mean? So let's say, for example, I ate $100 worth of truma. So I would have to pay 100 as the keren, and then I have to add on a fifth. How do you calculate a fifth? So most math majors would tell you that a fifth is, what do you mean? It's $20, right? Is that a fifth? So the answer is that...
25.
Oh, so the answer is it's really $25. Why is it $25? Because a fifth in halacha means when you add together the number of the fifth, it is now a fifth. That's the way the halacha calculates. If you have a little lumdish of math, it appears in the fourth brach of Maseches above Metzia. So what we would call, in our lingo, we would call a fourth, is actually halachically a fifth. So fine. So you add on what X amount, whatever you have to pay. And whatever you paid, you do not pay in cash. You don't write a check to the kohen. Rather, you have to give the kohen fruit. And that fruit they give the kohen now, hocus pocus, becomes truma. So it's a very, very strange form of a tashlumin. V'nosa l'kohen es hakodesh. That's what the Torah says. So you have to give a davar royal yos kodesh. So now you give him the fruit, and no, lo and behold, that fruit becomes truma. And if you go ahead and you eat any of that fruit again, you're going to have to pay another keren, another chomesh on that. So you can keep on paying keren chomeshes for a long, long time. So comes the Gemara and raises the following very, very long dish of shadow. So what we said up to now is just Psukim and Chumash, Toshim HaPeh, Psukim and Pashas Emor, that says, V'ish ki yochol kodesh b'shkaga, v'yasav chamish yisoo alav, v'nasan l'kohen es ha-kodesh. That's all the Torah says, v'nasan l'kohen es ha-kodesh. So the Gemara has the following very long dish of shadow. Iboy lehu, we have the following question. Kishehu mishalim, lefi mida mishalim, o lefi doma mishalim. How exactly do we calculate what a person ate? The Torah says you have to pay for what you ate, but there are two very, very different ways of calculating what you ate. Either you make a cheshbon based on quantity, based on measurement. I ate 20 apples, so I have to pay back 20 apples. What do I say? No, that lefi dama mishalim. I have to figure out how much 20 apples go for in the market, and then I have to pay back that value. But again, I don't pay back in cash. I have to pay back in fruit. At the end of the day, I'm going to pay the apples, but the question is, how do we start that original calculation? Did we start the original calculation based on a volume, based on a physical amount of fruit? Or did we start the calculation based on a monetary evaluation of how much the apples cost? So some of you may be wondering, wait, sounds like the same to me. What in the world's the difference whether you're going to pay 20 apples or you're going to pay, figure out how much 20 apples cost, and then calculate that, and then go to the store and buy apples, give it to the coin. At the end of the day, it's going to end up with the same apples. Not necessarily at all. Very good. Not at all necessarily. So there may be some very real cases where one method of calculation may work, and the other method may fall short. So that's exactly what the Gemara wants to know. Why in the world did the Gemara even think in its wildest dreams that you pay lefi midot, that you pay based on the amount of apples? There's no other tashlum in the Torah like that. Said, if I break your window, so we have to figure out how much the window costs. So you go to the window expert, Anderson Window Expert, I think it's the company. So yeah, you go to Anderson, they make a cheshbon, they write you up an invoice, say how much windows cost, and sure, you got to pay for a window. But if my animal eats up your fruit, so we have to figure out how much dollars and cents. Partly how many apples I ate. What matters is what the value is. So why in the world did the Gemara even dream that this is different? So according to many Mishonim, what led the Gemara, what prompted Chazal to even raise this question in this sugya, something that doesn't appear in other sugyas of Tashlumin, is because of the uniqueness of this Tashlumin. The Torah says, V'rasam l'kohen es ha-kodesh. So the Torah Shabbat explains, Dover ha-royalios kodesh. You cannot pay in cash. You have to pay in apples. Wait a second, what kind of halach is that? What message is the Torah sending us that you have to pay in apples? So the message the Torah sounds like it's telling us is that this is not really compensation. This is not dollars and cents. It's not a hefsid mammon. If it would be a hefsid mammon, it's so much easier. Why do I have to go to the store and go buy apples? I'll write the credit check and finish and come out and call it a day. So the Torah says you can't do that. The Torah says you have to replace the apples rather than pay for the apples. Replacing the apples? Wait a second. Once we just took it out of the realm of dollars and cents, we're talking about weight of apples, we're talking about numbers of apples, we're talking about lefimidim mishalim. We're not talking dollars and cents. This is not a issue of compensation. This is an issue of replacement. So maybe that's what led Chazal down this path of raising the shaila. Is tashlume truma fundamentally the same as kol tara kula, that lefimidim mishalim, that you just figure out the cheshbon and bring in the experts, make a calculation, give a dollar sign, and that's it? What do I say? No, that the very nature of tashlumin is so radically different that it's the fi mi de mishalim. So the Gemara begins to try to solve this question. What is the answer to this question? So in the seventh of the Mamre comes, the Gemara continues and tries to bring you the following raya. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, that's the reason why the sugya appears in Maseches Pesachim. Ha'ochel trumas chometz bepesach B'shogig b'sham karen b'chomesh. This guy's a real loser. He made some very, very serious mistakes. So first of all, he's a Yisrael. He says, I already ate truma. That's a no-no. He just got himself a misa b'day shemayim. B'shogig, okay. So he's got a lot of, when he gets to that part of a vidoy, the end of the davening in Yom Kippur, so he gets a misa b'day shemayim. Ooh, that's him. So he's chayav misa b'day shemayim. But wait a second. The guy didn't do too much, but he ate truma that happened to also be chametz, and lo and behold, it's Pesach. So he ate a pizza that happened to have been made from dough that came from truma wheat. So he's got two strikes. So now when he gets to that line, al chet chatoim shalachem kores. So he's got one clap for kores, one clap for misim deshimayim. The guy's on a roll. So he ate something that, in a sense, violated two isurim. So what does the Mishnah say? Mishal and ken v'chemish. So the fact that he's chayav koris, that's different to him and the Rabban Shalom, but tachlis, the coin still coming after him to pay keren v'chomesh. So the din is, notwithstanding the fact that he ate trumas chometz, afal pichein, he still has to pay the keren v'chomesh. And that's what leads the Gemara down one of the paths. Iyamar's bishlama, the Gemara says, if you hold the fimid de bishalim, if you hold that whenever you pay tashlumei truma, it is always determined based on a volume. If tachlis, you ate three pounds of truma grain, you got to pay 3 pounds of truma grain. If you hold that the calculation is made based on volume, shapir, then I understand. Then I understand exactly what happened. You ate X amount of truma, you have to pay X amount of chum, that's going to become truma. The fact that it's chametz for Pesach, what does that do with anything? What's the difference between eating chametz for Pesach and eating apples on a Tuesday? It's all the same thing. But if you tell me that this is all a calculation, this is all dollars and cents, chametz for Pesach by damimu, said, chametz on Pesach is worthless. Chametz on Pesach has no market value because chametz on Pesach is asur b'hana. Go try to sell that pizza. You won't get a penny for it. Now, true, if you go and violate an Isser and try to sell to a goy, you'll get some money. But that's not how we calculate things in halacha. Dover also banah doesn't have any value whatsoever. That's what the Mishnah says in the end of the second paragraph of Kiddushin. If you would be Mekadosh and Isha with the Dover also banah, you're standing under the chuppah and you can't find the ring. But instead of giving her a ring, you pull out a cheeseburger out of your pocket and say, Harem Kadeshim with the cheeseburger. The bun, maybe, is mutabanah, unless it's basic. But the cheeseburger itself is also banah. So if you try to be Makadish in issue with a cheeseburger, Makadish Rabos Mechalov, Eidim Mekudeshes. Or for that matter, Makadish Bechomis Bebesach, Eidim Mekudeshes. So comes the Gemara and says that a Dover also banah, a Pialocha, has no value, has no dollar sign attached to it. So if you hold that the Chia for Truma is Badomim, the chiyuv for truma is lefidam mishalim. You should pay absolutely nothing. So you have a riot from this mishnah for the fact that the mishnah speaks about the possibility of paying tashlumei truma even if you ate chametz for Pesach. You see clear from here that this is a function of mida, not a function of dam. That's the Gemara's riot. The Gemara says no, not necessarily. You just opposed the question on the second line chametz for Pesach, but dam. The Gemara says in yes, it is according to one tana. It is. Who's the one tana? Hamani Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the Yama Chametz Pesach Mutabahana. In contrast to everything we've learned since we were little children, Chametz Pesach Chavalt is also Bahana. I'll tell you a secret. It's not so simple that that's true. It is simple, the halacha, that it's true, but there was a dissenting view in the days of the Tanai Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Because Rabbi Yossi Aglili argues, he says, well, it doesn't say it. Where does the Torah say don't get Hanah from Chametz? The Torah says don't eat Chametz. The Torah says multiple times, if you eat Chametz, you have Kares. But the Torah never ever says, at least explicitly in Tosha B'Chsav, not to be benefit, not to feed chametz to your dogs, not to give chametz to a goy, not to benefit, not to use it as firewood. It doesn't say it anywhere in the Chumash. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says it's mutter. Everything is mutter to prove an answer. Now, truth to be told, nobody agrees to him. All the other Tanaim disagree. But the Gemara spends a lot of time in the second Berakh of Sachim trying to prove that Rabbi Yossi Aglili is not right. The Gemara quotes Psukim and Drushas and Eislach, different sources to explain how we got to that conclusion that chametz is asbanah. But it's far from simple. It took two blad of Maseches Pesachim to reach that conclusion that we don't follow Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So now this is a Mishnah. So a Mishnah could be Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We have no idea who the author of any given Mishnah is. So it could be that this Mishnah is following in the view of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And since Rabbi Yosef Glili is the author of the Mishnah, and he subscribes to the view that chametz is mutabana, if it's mutabana, then it's bar dabim, then it's sellable on the market. I could sell it as dog food, I could sell it as firewood on the market. So therefore, it does have dabim, and therefore that would explain why the Mishnah says that I have to pay the kohen. So we could breathe a sigh of relief that we didn't prove anything from the Mishnah. So the Gemara thought that for the fact that there's tashlumeh, truma, and chametz of Pesach, that's a proof positive that you pay lefi midah. Gemara says, no, not necessarily. It could be you pay lefi damim. The afa pichein, this has damim according to Yosef Glili. Gemara says, no, not so simple. Ihochi. If you're right, ema sefer, that you're guilty of overkill. Because the second half of the Mishnah says, b'mezid, if I eat truma b'mezid, so what are the regular rules of eating truma b'mezid? That parsha chumash doesn't apply. The psukim in parshas emor about ish ki yochel truma b'shkaga, it says in the chumash b'shkaga. What if I eat b'mezid? Then all bets are off. If I eat b'mezid, there's no chumash. I just pay. I'm a gazlan. If I went out and I stole truma, so I have to pay. Like b'teres gazela, I pay regular lefi damim, I pay Amish, any other regular gazlan. So says the Gemara, wait a second. The Mishnah says, "B'mezid potamin atashlumin me'etzim." If I ate chametz with Pesach truma, I don't have to pay. I don't have to pay even the value of this is firewood. I don't have to pay for anything. I'm totally and completely potter. How do we understand that Mishnah? Why does the Mishnah say b'shogeg you do pay on Pesach and b'mezid you don't? So if you hold lefi midah mishalem b'shogeg, then I understand the difference. That shogeg is lefi midah, so therefore you pay even for chametz and Pesach with no value. So mezid you pay lefi damim, so therefore you don't pay because it has no value. But once you introduce Rabbi Yosef Glili into this picture, you just created a very serious problem. Because if it's Rabbi Yosef Glili, if you continue, e Rabbi Yosef Glili, once you tell me the Mishnah of Rabbi Yosef Glili, am I potter b'tashlumin me'etzim? Why you potter from paying b'mezid? So a manav shach. So again, the Mishnah says, b'shogeg, you're chayev to pay, b'mezid, you're potter from paying. If you hold that chametz b'pesach is asav hanah, like we hold, so then I understand the Mishnah, that b'shogeg you pay because you pay lefi midah, and b'mezid you potter because you pay lefi damim. But if you tell me that the Mishnah is Rabbi Yosef Glili, and that's the only reason why I pay b'shogeg, you should be chayev to pay b'mezid also, and the Mishnah doesn't say that. So the Gemara is not willing to give up yet. The Gemara says, no. The reason why you put the b'mezid is for a different reason. The bottom line says, Savalak Rabbi Yechudu ben Akana, the sign Rabbi Yechudu ben Akana, Yehoses Yom Kippurim Kishabas HaTashlomin. Rabbi Yechudu ben Akana invokes Kamle B'Dramine, even on Onshei Shemayim, even on Kareis, and perhaps even on Misa B'Dei Shemayim. Rabbi Yechudu ben Akana was the lone Shita. He didn't hold for my drush before I've done an Ochi. He held that Kamle B'Dramine applies even to Onshem in Shemayim. So now we understand Pshat the Mishnah in Pesachim. So we're back in the Mishnah in Trumas. So the Mishnah told us that if a person eats Truma B'Shogeg, he's going to be Chayef to pay. If he eats a B'mezid, he's going to be Potter to pay. The simple Pshat in the Mishnah is one is the Fidam and one's the Fimida and finish. That's the easy Pshat. But the complicated, convoluted Pshat is like this, that really the Mishnah is following the one Das, that one opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glili. And Rabbi Yosef says that chametz is worth something on Pesach. So why you put the b'mezid? For a different reason. You put the b'mezid because of Rabbi Yechudu ben Akana. So in order to salvage the Mishnah, we dug up two sheets, we passed like neither of them. We put together one das yachid with another das yachid, and we explained away the Mishnah. So shogeg chayav, mezid potter. Why you put the b'mezid? You put the b'mezid because it comes with Ramine. But he said, what's the obvious kasha? When the Gemara ends, the Rishonim start. What's the next kasha? If you're already telling me it's Kamei B'Dramine, we know Kamei B'Dramine applies Bein B'Shogeg, Bein B'Mezid. So if you're already willing to pull out of your hat a Tana that we don't paskin like, Rabbi Yechudu ben Akana, to explain why you put the B'Mezid, so pull him out of your hat, like Rabbi Shogeg also, and we're back to square one. So if you really believe Rabbi Yechudu ben Akana is playing a role here, why is it that that Kibbutz Ramli doesn't apply to Tashlumei Truma B'Shogeg? That's our kasha. So it took us a half hour of a digression to ask that kasha. Take a look at the eighth of the Baruch Kamos. In Tosin Ksubis of Laman Rebeis, it's the fourth line of the Tosus. V'yei Shlomar, this is Tosin's answer. The shiny Shogeg the Truma, Mishum de tashlush, tashlum de day, he has that magic word, kapara v'lo mamona. The reason why there's no killing Ramesses Tosus is obvious, is because it's kapara, it's not mamon. So do you see how far Tosus had to go? Tosus had to learn to see it complicated. We streamlined the sugya. We only took a half hour of the sugya. You can learn that sugya for hours. And Tosus ended up with a kasha. If you really believe killing Ramesses applies, why not b'shogeg? So Tosus is searching for a reason. The reason is because b'shogeg is kapara, and kapara just doesn't lend itself to Kavud Ramine. So Baruch Hashem, it sounds like we're in the clear. We've proven that Kapara doesn't apply. Tashlum Kapara are not governed by the rules of Kavud Ramine. Now we're able to extrapolate that to Kofar, and it sounds like we're in good shape. Not so simple. Not at all so simple. First of all, we're a little bit weary about Tosis. You know, Tosis just said, oh yeah, Tashlum Truma is Kapara, therefore the Kavud Ramine, call it a day. How did Tosus know that the Shlumei Truma is Kapara? How do you know? I know it's Kapara. Maybe it's Mamon. Maybe it's Kadas. Maybe it's something else. Kapara. Kapara is a very, very loaded term. How did Tosus even know that it's Kapara in the first place? So Tosus has to prove to us that it's the Shlumei Kapara. Number two, even if Tosus is right vis-a-vis Truma, we still have a way to go. Because how do we know that Kofar, notwithstanding its name, how do you know that Kofar is Kapara? So Tosus and us, we have a lot of work to do. We have to prove that Tashlumei Truma is really truly Kapara. And then we have to prove that Kofar is really truly Kapara. If we can logically, if we can bring Raya from the Gemara to prove both of those things, then we're in business. But all we did at that point was we brought Raya's. We still didn't understand conceptually. We still don't know logically why this should be so. We may have identified what. We may have proven that it is true, that Tashlumei Kapara don't lend themselves to Kibbutz Ramine, if we can prove those two things that we said. But conceptually, we're not quite sure why is that so. Why is it that regular Mamon, Sabah Kibbutz Ramine works, Kanaso, Sabah Kibbutz Ramine works, Kofar Kibbutz Ramine falls short? What is it about Kaparas that don't lend themselves to Kibbutz Ramine? So in order to answer that logical question, we're going to have to find out a little bit more about two things. We're going to have to find out a little bit more about the Shlumei Kapara in general, and we're going to have to find out a little bit more about what Kibbutz Ramine is, or perhaps what it's not. So we really, really have our work cut out for us. So what did we accomplish? Hopefully we accomplished a lot this morning. We learned the Sugya Pesachim. We learned the Tosis. We came, after much deliberation about how to learn Pshat in this complicated Mishnah, we saw that the Gemara is pulling at all corners just to say Pshat in this Mishnah. Lefimidah, Lefidamim, Rabbi Chumim HaKonah, Rabbi Yosef Levi, a lot of ways for that Sugya to go. But then the one point that's relevant for us from the 40 minutes of Shia, I mean, hopefully everything's relevant, but the one point that's relevant for our Kofar discussion is, Tosfos said unequivocally that Tashlumei Didei Kapara V'lo Mamona, and therefore there's no Kibbutz Ramine. Still to be proven, how do you know that's true by Tashlumei Truma? How do you know that's true by Kofar? What is the logic to explain what is no Kibbutz Ramine? So again, our sugya is still in the process of developing. Hopefully, on Friday, we'll try to take the sugya to the next level.